I saw this meme a lot and I really liked it. It is a picture of Gabe. It says, "Shut up and listen, you." And there's a picture of Gabe next to a picture of Astrid. Shut up, you Gabe Astrid.
they changed it, or gay bastard, to which Gabe, is Astrid, which is
yeah, like... Gabe Astrid. Yeah, that's right. Gabe Astrid. Yeah.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. If your business paper needs or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hey there, and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office, by fans of The Office. I'm your host and CEO of Woof.com, Sean Roney.
I'm Edwin Janes, fire guy.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I don't get the big fuss here. I like the site.
If I had created a website with this many problems, I'd kill myself.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
You know what we do. As always, we discuss a topic every week about our favorite show, The Office. And this week, we're going to be talking about the relationship between Ryan Howard and Kelly Kapoor, played by BJ Novak and Mindy Kaling, of course.
Yeah, a couple of characters that are a little more tertiary or secondary to kind of what you think of as the main cast or the main romance or the main characters. But Ryan and Kelly pop up so much throughout the show, and they give so much comedic relief. They bring such a funny, unpredictable element to the show. We wanted to talk about their relationship because if you try to talk, it's hard to talk about one without talking about the other, right?
Yeah.
And if we were to do an episode about Kelly, for example, it'd be like, well, maybe don't talk too much about Ryan because you want to do a Ryan episode. But it makes the most sense, I think, to talk about them together as they are so intertwined.
And talk about
star-crossed lovers.
And talk about a TV couple in our formative years that just sets the bar for a healthy, well-communicated,
functional
relationship.
I mean, you think about how people talk about Jim and Pam being like one of these ultimate will they, won't they relationships, and of course we've also talked a little bit about Dwight and Angela.
Sure,
but holy moly, Ryan and Kelly. There's some ups and downs in that.
Ryan and Kelly, instead of being will they, won't they, it's like will they, yes they, why they, are they? Oh, maybe not they, you know.
It's just that they will.
Yeah.
They will. Mm-hmm. Something.
Of course, we're going to get into, their relationship arc and some of our favorite moments between Ryan and Kelly. But I had to bring up, because this is topical news, I guess. Just like days ago, Mindy Kaling did a CBS interview, and they talked about her relationship with BJ Novak. I didn't even realize reading this or watching the interview that they had dated on and off during...
Kind of previously or during the show.
Yeah, she said, she told Vulture in 2012, we kind of fell in love through doing that, writing together, and then dated on and off for a couple of years. And she said that...
Classic,
you know,
Ryan.
People see her and BJ... People see her and BJ together and in public, like getting along and joking around a lot and stuff like that. And they wonder if they actually do have some sort of relationship going on. And she kind of talks about how she likes that people think that because they're very good friends. And he's the godfather of her child.
It's amazing.
They really had this real, what do you call
chemistry?
It? Kinship, chemistry in real life. Which, of course, lent itself to their amazing chemistry on
As Ryan himself on once said, I just realized that I probably couldn't do better than Kelly.
Aww.
That's a sad moment, yeah.
Just harsh
but
all
this
around.
Is exactly how they talk about each other all the time.
Right.
Right.
So where do we start?
So I think we can start with season one. Ryan comes in as the temp in the pilot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as the pilot is kind of a one-to-one version of the BBC Office. It's a very similar sort of dynamic that they bring in the BBC Office. There's a new guy, a temp, that kind of thing. And Ryan is definitely featured. He's featured in the credits all the way through, especially in the early seasons. He's definitely played too, by Michael. Michael is always throwing to the temp, trying to befriend the temp, right?
Yeah. Hottest in the office.
In the Dundies episode, Jim is like, well, we learned Michael's true feelings for Ryan. And right. We've heard Michael change the lyrics to a number of classic songs, which for me has ruined them for life.
Ryan always holding up his gym clothes in the credits.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. For the basketball game. So.
Yeah.
Do we ever actually see Ryan playing? Does he ever get the ball?
I think he's in the game. I don't know if we ever see him actually do anything.
I can't remember him doing anything significant during the game.
Yeah. Anyway.
I remember him washing up in the bathroom with Stanley.
Right. It's funny. Ryan is such a low-key character in the first few seasons. You know, he really doesn't show himself. He's not committed to the job, right?
Yeah.
And only after Jim leaves does Ryan kind of come in and become like the salesman, tries to assert himself a little bit, right? We see flashes from Ryan throughout the early seasons. And then we see even more from him once he starts dating Kelly. And it's like Ryan is sort of, again, it's similar to Jim. He's played kind of as a straight man where things kind of happen to him and he has to kind of react. Like Michael having this strange affection, like this best friend brotherhood sort of thing with Ryan, you know?
Right.
Well, I think he's an audience surrogate in a lot of ways, right? Michael is talking to him, telling him about this is what we do here in the office and stuff like that. And he's talking to us maybe.
Well, and again, in the BBC, that's the first episode is like, you know, how do we, you see this in a lot of movies and TV shows. It's like, how do we get introduced to this world? Let's have them giving a tour of whoever's new, you know? Yeah. And then like you literally walk around, you meet people, you see everything.
Right.
So that was sort of the function of what Ryan's character is in the BBC office. But then he kind of, in the BBC at least, that character just sort of goes away.
Right.
And because Ryan and Jim kind of run the same corner. Like they occupy some of the same stuff.
I think too, I'm just kind of realizing this now, is that Ryan has even less sort of power and agency than Jim because he's the temp. He's so much at the mercy of Michael's whims and telling him to do things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we talked about it. The first cold open is Ryan coming in early to give Michael a breakfast sandwich. And it's like, so what's that special assignment you wanted me to come in for? And Michael holds up the bag with the breakfast sandwich. And he's like, you know, you have the office yourself. Run around. Take your pants off.
Yeah. I'm going to go sleep in my car.
Oh, I forgot about
A bit of a night. I'm a bit of a night owl, and I'm an early bird, which means I'm wise and I have worms.
That is a really interesting point, though. He does sort of way more so than Jim, like kind of represent like this the sort of futility of working in this sort of office space, this kind of bland paper company of like, oh, your boss can just tell you to do stuff and he's an idiot and you just have to do it because you're a temp.
Like in the injury when Michael sends him out to go get all that food from like the, I don't even know what kind of restaurant it is, like a Boston Market or something, because it's got like chicken, or maybe it's KFC
right?
And he's like, believe it or not, the gas station in Carbondale did not have fresh yams. Like, really? Because they always have yams. You know?
And then kind of by contrast, like Kelly is already an established employee, you know, Kelly, when they come in there. So I'm trying to think, do they ever, like, when's the first time they kind of meet?
Not in season one, because the pretty much the only thing that Kelly does in season one is slap Michael when...
In the Diversity Day episode.
Right. Can you think of any other...
She comes in for one shot and nails it.
Yeah.
I think what we see a lot of in season one is writers that eventually become characters.
Right.
Populating these sort of extra roles in the office. Like when you watch season one, you see these extras and characters that you never see again, you know, because they're supposed to just be generic figures in the office. But Kelly and, I mean, like there are a lot of characters that are writers on the show.
Toby, Mose.
But I mean, Toby and Kelly specifically, I think, are characters that were writers kind of filling in and then they became part of the main cast, even though that was not really how they kind of came on.
And BJ Novak
was brought on as like a writer / character early on to be part of the show.
Because for as, you know, central as they are, you know, Jim, Michael, Pam, Dwight, none of these people are writers.
Yeah.
You know, it's only BJ Novak is the only person in that upper echelon of main characters, I guess, sort of.
And you never really see Ryan and Kelly be pivotal in any kind of plot points, with the exception of Dunder Mifflin Infinity with Ryan and Corporate. That's sort of the only time I think either the two of them are really a major part of like the overall story plot.
Right.
There are a couple moments here and there. Like I'm thinking of Kelly during the customer
recall.
That's right.
Where she has this day is bananas. B.
Well, they're part of episode plots. Yeah. I just mean like kind of longer term story plot stuff.
Yeah.
But And then, like, you know, Ryan's rise and fall from corporate, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Sure.
Kind of sort of puts that to the test. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about maybe if it worked or didn't.
I think, too, kind of when they first come together is in Valentine's Day in season two. Yeah. When I think at earlier on, they kind of allude to liking each other.
Jim is stuck listening to Kelly talk about this. Is he stuck in the annex? Is it when...
So he's in the break room.
Todd Packer...
Oh, wait.
Oh, okay. No, go ahead. You're right. Go ahead. You keep going.
Packer's out on the road for this one, right? I think. But anyway, Kelly is talking to Jim, and it's Valentine's Day, right? So there's a lot of packages coming in, or flowers, and the teddy bear for Phyllis and everything.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Kelly is telling Jim how they're out with all of Ryan's friends, and how she's like, and I'm thinking to myself, Ryan, what's taking you so long? And then Jim, he kissed me. And I said, Ryan, what took you so long? And now, Jim, I have a boyfriend, right? And it's Valentine's Day. And then it cuts to Ryan, and he says, I hooked up with her on February 13th. And he puts his hands in his hair.
Yeah.
And when he takes them out, his hair stands up.
But nice. 2005, 2006 hair.
So I think before this, Todd Packer takes a dump on Michael's carpet. Michael needs
spoiler
to move.
Alert.
Pardon me.
Now you got to tie it back to Ryan and Kelly.
But Michael moves out into the bullpen and takes Jim's desk, and Jim has to go to the annex. Is that when she is pestering him about, like, asking Ryan if he likes her?
Oh, you know what? That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that right? And it's torture to
and
him.
Then he has to ask Ryan, and Ryan's right. Like, yeah, well, did she say anything? You know,
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Okay.
But that's kind of when they first come together, at least in Valentine's Day. And then Kelly is like, you know, Ryan, they're in the break room, and Ryan comes in to get a soda. And Kelly's like, Ryan, you know, do you have any plans tonight? Do you want to do something? I mean, no pressure at all. And Jim goes, no, not while I'm here. And Ryan goes, I have plans with my friends. I can't do it tonight. And then he leaves, right? And then again, there's another scene where Kelly's like, oh, Jim, but it would be so perfect if he were into me. But like, he's not, but I don't know. And then Jim is like, you know what, Kelly? It would be great if he were into you. But he's not, okay? And then Kelly's like, oh, but it'd be so great if he were. And Jim says, you should come to my poker game, right? And Kelly's like, oh, okay. She goes, can I buy Ryan?
He's like, no. That's a boy. There's a deleted scene I'd like to see.
So
yeah.
Kelly at a poker
Kelly
game.
Kelly at Jim's poker game. So this relationship is off to a good start. At this point,
it is. And I think at this stage, too, it's like if Jim and Pam are the sort of, I don't know, sort of more mature, long-term relationship that they're trying to build. Like Ryan and Kelly are always sort of more of a teenage infatuation, on again, off again. Like there's so much pop culture infused into their relationship and each of their characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that really starts to develop pretty early on, that they sort of take that role.
And there's this sort of funny disconnect where, like, I want to say it's in Take Your Daughter to Work Day. Where Kelly's like, I love kids. Ryan, could you ever see yourself having kids? And Ryan's like, I don't know. I don't know if I ever want kids. And then she leaves, and Pam says, Ryan, you know, she clearly has feelings for you. And he goes, I know what I said.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cold. Ice cold.
Well, because there's another moment where, like, Ryan is saying, he's like, Kelly and I agreed that we were just going to have fun. We talked about this. And fun for Kelly means getting married and having babies with me as soon as possible. Right.
Why? I mean, is he just staying in it to just avoid the awkwardness? Or, I mean, we're seeing even in this early stage that he does seem to be attracted to her.
Yeah.
But doesn't want to be in a committed relationship at all.
I mean, I'm inferring this reading of Ryan, but it seems like he does like Kelly, you know, and he has feelings for Kelly, but he's portrayed as such a younger character that it, like, makes a little bit of sense that he doesn't want to settle down right away. And he has a hard time expressing it to Kelly, and Kelly is trying to lock him down.
Yeah.
You know, like in the Diwali episode.
Yeah.
When Ryan talks to Kelly's parents and they're like, oh, you're saving up to start a family. He goes, no, to travel and buy an Xbox. You know?
Right. I mean, I think he's such a, like, fragile little child, really, mm-hmm. underneath it all. And he's trying to be like a, you know, well, kind of the character he becomes in season 3.
I was going to say, it's funny how in the early seasons, he's kind of like, he's younger, he doesn't really know what he wants to do, but he doesn't really want to get serious. And later in the show, it's just like, no, Ryan sucks. Like,
yeah.
He's just a bad dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm jumping ahead, but like, you know, just like stuff like when they're opening the Sabre store in Florida, mm-hmm. and he breaks down and needs them to talk to him, like,
right.
like he's their mom or mm-hmm. like their Kelly, you know.
Oh, fix means you hate it.
Yeah.
Right. I think, too, I mean, we've talked a lot about Ryan, but I think in the early few seasons when we talk about Kelly, like, Kelly so often is played as kind of this ditzy kind of character, who's somebody who's a little more superficial.
Mm-hmm.
But
she likes Beyonce, pink the color, pink the singer.
Hot dogs.
Anything that's awesome.
Basically things that are awesome.
Snow cones.
Yeah.
Before she decides that she's into Ryan, she's into somebody else in the office. And that was Dwight K. Schrute.
Oh, yeah, she kisses him.
She kisses him at the Christmas party.
What are you doing? I don't know.
Maybe she has trouble meeting men outside of work, and she's...
You know, I'm thinking about this now, but it's almost...
she's settling with Ryan, then, yeah.
It's Ryan funny sucks. How both of them are kind of portrayed as children, right?
Yeah.
Ryan is immature and doesn't want to settle down, and, like, later on in the show, he's even less mature, right? Mm-hmm. He's trying to be all cool and hip all the time.
He just wants to be cool, hang out with his friends.
And Kelly...
Go to the mall.
Listen to some records. And then Kelly is kind of portrayed as, like, she wants to hang out at the mall, and she likes pink, and... You know, things like, mm-hmm. like very, she wants to
celebrity
name
celebrity news.
She wants to name her kid Usher, right?
She's like a
Usher Raymond Kapoor. What is wrong with that?
She's like, yeah. a People magazine.
Right, yeah. exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, Jim, I have so much news to tell you. And she's like, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie had a baby and they named it Shiloh. And then, what is it? Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise had a baby and they named it Suri?
Yeah.
Shuri? And then he's like, oh, okay, anything else? She's like, I just told you.
Yeah, yeah. But what, yeah.
One of the better, one of my favorite outtakes. Is when she does that and switches the names of the babies.
And Jim goes, and are you sure?
John Krasinski goes like, I think you switched those up. And she's like, oh my God. She can't believe she did it. Like, also in season two, I was kind of just brushing up on some of the stuff she does. And she, in Take Your Daughter to Work Day, she's the one who like tells Stanley
oh, yeah.
about Ryan and Stanley's daughter. And is the one, the reason that Stanley thinks that Ryan made a move on his daughter. That is some, like, she, that is really harsh.
Stanley's oh, yeah. daughter, I think her name is Melissa, mm-hmm. is like, Ryan, you've never been to Jitters? Oh, my God, you're so dorky. I drink, like, 10 iced macchiatos a day or whatever, right? Jitters at Steamtown Mall.
Give me your number.
And then, yeah. And then Kelly points it out to Stanley, and then it, like, cuts to them in the break yeah. rooms. Boy, have you lost your mind? Because I'll help you find it. Yeah. Jesus can come walking through that door. He can't help you. You don't stop sniffing around my daughter. She is a child. Yeah. Also,
I think I played it in the drop. I think I played it in the that kind of collection of season two bloopers
uh-huh.
that we did for the, mm-hmm. the conference room that one time. But yeah, you get the Stanley saying, what they'll do you in prison is nothing compared to what I'll do you before you get in there.
There's a really great sort of reversal. I don't even remember when it happens, but like they all go out to a bar or something.
Yeah.
And Melissa sees him.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, Ryan. And he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? You know, and then yeah. he looks over at Stanley and he realizes it's Stanley's daughter. And he has that moment of realization like, oh, no, not
yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Stanley just yelled at me. It's one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Echoing the time that Jim sees Stanley coming at him in Beach Games. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
The
oh,
look
yeah.
in Stanley's eyes. Right. So that's Stanley has both put the fear of God in both of them.
I mean, I think we can kind of jump. We can skip ahead a little bit. I think yeah. we sure. should. Let's try to like go over the main beats in their relationship. And then yeah. we can kind of go back and find funny moments or why it's significant. Mm-hmm. But I think like from season two to season three, like we see more of Ryan and Kelly together.
It just kind
I love
of
when they
painfully
go on,
develops.
Yes. I love when they go on the double date with Pam. And
oh, yeah,
yeah they, she Kelly sets up Pam with her neighbor, and
who's
they're
a
out,
cartoonist,
right? For the yeah, and they're just like the only thing we really see from Kelly and Ryan is them sitting at the restaurant, and Kelly's just feeding Ryan French fries, and he's like, "No, I don't want." And she's like, "No, you love ketchup," and she turns to them and she goes, "He loves ketchup," right?
Oh God, it's just it's. I mean, as it like, how many times did they like? Are they really breaking up, getting back together? It's just a complete roller coaster.
Okay, so it really slowly develops their relationship until the end of season three.
Well, they're going to break up and the branch is going to close.
Right.
And they cut to Kelly and she's like, if Ryan Howard is laid off, I will kill myself. Right.
Their relationship, I'm just realizing now, is kind of follows the same trajectory as Stanley wanting to retire. Like, you just keep thinking, like, they should be done here. They should be done. It never ends. And then finally at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Gone.
There's a great moment. And then afterwards, when, like, they find out the branch is not closing, like, Kelly, like, tackles him into the fridge. She's like, we don't have to break up now, Ryan. We'll be together forever, right? And then, yes, to your point, at the end, after Beach Games, during the job, which is the end of season three, mm-hmm. we see David Wallace on the phone with someone. It cuts back to Ryan in the annex talking.
His business school has paid off. Mm-hmm.
And Kelly says, who is that? And he goes, no one. You and I are done.
What?
The look he gives to the camera at the end of that is so perfect.
Oh, God.
There's also a great moment.
He's just been waiting to do that, too.
At the end of at the end of business school.
Poor Kelly.
When Michael puts Ryan in the annex, right, instead of fires him.
Yeah.
A good manager doesn't fire people, Ryan. He hires people and inspires people, right?
Yeah.
A couple episodes later, they're arguing back and forth.
Yeah,
you know, about this is after Roy comes in and attacks Jim.
Yeah,
and Kelly's like, "That's so scary. I can't imagine." Ryan says, "I can't imagine what I do in that situation." And Kelly goes, "I know what you would do. You would sit back and you would laugh, like when those kids poured the milkshake on me." And he goes, "No, well, that was funny, right?" And they keep going back and forth, and Toby is like, "Guys, I'm sorry." And he's like, "I don't know if Michael intended to punish me by putting Ryan back here in the annex, but if he did, genius."
Then we go into season four.
Then we go into season four. Ryan goes off to corporate. Mm-hmm. He comes back every once in a while, and Kelly.
How's my favorite branch doing?
Yeah. Kelly gets all dressed up for this. I think that's when we hear the clip that we played at the start of the show.
Mm-hmm. Dunder Mifflin Infinity.
I have a question. Number one, how dare you?
I included Creed in the beginning of that because it was something I never really caught. That's so funny. that Creed is like funny. Like I don't see what the big fuss is. I like the site.
Well, and then remember it's found out that it's like a ring for like it's like. Pedophiles or something or like people talking to underage kids. The social networking feature was not very well regulated.
Creed loves a good criminal underground.
Sure does.
That is also the episode that she tells him she's pregnant.
Right.
And then it cuts to the confessional.
And she just silently shakes her head. Yeah.
Because I'm pregnant and I am keeping it.
He's like, oh my God, okay, let's have dinner tonight. Yeah. Like, it's okay, we'll figure this out.
Oh, that's so dark. That's the only way he's willing to.
And then later she's like, it comes out that she's not pregnant. And he goes, what? And he's like, we're done. And she goes, why?
Yeah. They really are perfect for
each
other. They
go back and forth like that so many times, just the emotional manipulation they do to each other.
But there's what comes out of that breakup is that they're fighting, I think.
Kelly is dating Daryl.
Not
or is that later?
Just Daryl catches Ryan yelling at her.
Right.
Right. And he's like, you better lay off Miss Kapoor, you know? What does he say?
No, so that's Dwight. So Kelly buys a ream of paper from the website. And it's like bling. She like drops the ream into the thing. And she's like, oh, it's so fun. You get a because Daryl comes up to deliver
Dwight. Okay, got
Daryl comes
it.
Up to deliver a single ream of paper to Kelly, mm-hmm. right?
And then, ironically, Ryan's brainchild is the reason that Daryl even goes up there in the first place.
And Dwight is trying to outsell the computer, and he goes, damn it, Kelly, it knows. It knows what you're doing. Right?
Yeah.
And then Daryl's like, why don't you sit down, stop yelling at our sweet little Miss Kapoor,
yeah.
and start selling paper, like multiple reams of paper, like a real man.
Oh, my gosh. She loved that.
Oh, yeah. Daryl, so good.
He's a good guy. But
Daryl Philbin is the most complicated man I've ever met. He just says whatever they're thinking. What game is that?
But they start dating after that.
Right.
She drives Daryl crazy. Mm-hmm. He also can't break up with her. Maybe this is a thing that Kelly has on people.
Well, because what happens is Ryan comes back, right?
Yeah.
He comes back as the temp, and I think Kelly and Daryl like make out in front of him and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Ryan is like, he goes back to the annex, and he's like, well, I guess this is where I'll be doing my push-ups, right?
Yeah.
And he gets down, and he starts doing push-ups, and he tries to do one-handed push-ups or whatever. And then they like are making out in the break room.
Yeah.
And Kelly goes, this can't happen again. And Ryan goes, no, Daryl can't happen again. He's like, And he drafts a text message for her to send.
He's already drafted it.
That's one of my favorite moments.
Kelly goes, oh, he's going to kill us. And Ryan says, I'd like to see him try.
Let's do it together. And they hit the button together.
And then it's like, bling. And she goes, oh, it's cool.
He said it's cool. And he's all he wrote?
Didn't you guys date for like a long time? She's like, uh-huh. And I'm so glad we're back together now, Ryan.
And the shot of Daryl happily walking from a distance. That
so much bounce in his step.
Just as we go, throwing out like favorite moments between them, I think that's top one of them for me is when Ryan shows her the text message and she's really unsure, but her response through almost tears is, it's really well written.
Well written and all, but
she respects the craft.
Yeah.
She's hesitant to go through with it.
Ryan is a great writer. Mm-hmm. We'll get to this.
Yeah. We'll get to this later.
All right. All right.
So I think after this, season five, Ryan is basically back, right?
Yeah.
And Ryan and Kelly are just kind of dating, I think, through sort of the rest of the show up until season eight. Well, in season seven, there's a cold open where it turns out that they got engaged over the weekend.
Yeah.
And they also got divorced.
They're announcing their divorce to everyone.
And they're like, actually, we do need everyone to pick sides. It's like, who's on my side? No one raises their hand. Who's on my side?
And who's on my side?
No one raises their hand. But yeah, and then in season eight is kind of where we get this sort of the last sort of ditch drama where Kelly meets Ravi.
Right.
You know?
And Pam introduces them.
And I don't even remember why they're broken up before then.
This could be the divorce. It could be shortly after the divorce.
I mean, that's in season, the divorce thing I think happens in season seven.
Okay.
And then in season eight is when we have Ravi. Mm-hmm. But then Ryan has to try to win Kelly back with like some grand dramatic gesture.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think this is what we were kind of getting to. This is
exactly what I was going
to
bring
up. So he makes this last ditch thing for Kelly. He comes out on a horse wearing all this Indian
white horse
garb, right?
Yeah.
And he says, Kelly, and he's like, I know that we've never been together. And hold on, I'm going to find the quote. It's so great.
Dude, while you're finding that, just reading everything that happens in season 8 and 9, even though like they're not in it that much.
Oh my God.
Just everything that goes on between the two of them is nuts. It is so wild.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, lives are getting literally handed off to other people like a split second.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get to that.
We'll get there.
For sure.
Okay. This is what Ryan says. And I love that when he's saying this, Pam is like, no, boo, boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boo.
You're toxic. You're toxic.
And then halfway through this.
That's what he's saying to her.
Halfway through this, Ryan or Pam just goes, oh, barf, right? Because this is what Ryan says. Kelly, I have a few things to say to you, so please don't interrupt. And Kelly says, I wasn't going to interrupt. And Ryan says, well, you do that a lot, so just don't. Thank you. I know that I haven't always treated you like the way that you, for whatever reason, feel you deserve to be treated. But I want to marry you, Kelly Kapoor. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday, and probably. Pam, barf, you suck. Ryan. Ryan, what is your problem, right? And then he has to get the horse wrangler to turn the horse around.
Yeah.
And then he goes, thank you. Kelly, I can't promise you that we'll always stay together. I can't promise you that I'll never cheat on you, nor should I. Modern marriages aren't built that way. Men aren't built that way. There's a very interesting article that I can email to you. But I can tell you this. Even if the odds are 50-50 that we'll break up within the week, I want to roll those dice. I love you, Kelly. Right? And then Kelly goes, I love Ravi, and I choose him. And then they just make out next to the horse.
She gives him a hug. He writes her a poem in that episode. And
Jim and Pam find it at the end
of the episode. Yeah, yeah. And of course, Pam's mission during this episode is to keep them from getting back together. And she starts crying, though, reading his poem.
Kapoor and Kadesperate, he watches. he is a drifter out to sea. And then it wraps with, and when the Indian Ocean calms, one speck of white remains in waters cold and Kelly green. And Pam goes, it's just so dumb. But when he describes himself as a child, lost on the life raft. And then the last line of the episode is Jim looking in the camera with tears in his eyes and saying, Ryan can never know.
Never. Never.
So there you go, man. He's
because we see so much of them. I mean, maybe I'm jumping kind of into a random thing, but like there's so much of it is Ryan and Kelly's like artistic endeavors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Subtle Sexuality, the webisodes where Ryan is like their producer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryan's photography, where he's taking like nude pictures of Kelly.
Right. Showing them to Aaron. as he's hitting on her.
Right.
Ryan is the worst, yeah.
Ryan is pretty bad.
Let's get that
and,
out of the way.
And I think, let's just wrap up their arc really quickly, and then we can kind of jump back into random moments.
So season nine.
So season nine begins with them being sort of written out of the show.
Right.
Kelly follows Ravi to a job in at the University of Miami, Ohio. And so she's throwing out all of her coats to the people in the office. She's like, so long, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the beach with LeBron James and Gloria Estefan, right?
Yeah.
And then it's Ohio. And then it's like mysteriously, a few days later, Ryan also declared that he was moving to Miami. And then it's him at a bus stop with garbage bags. And he's like, I just had to go follow Miami. It's the place where all the tech things are going. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, these bags? They're my clothes. And then we don't see them again until they come back during the finale.
Right.
And we see them at Dwight and Angela's wedding. Kelly's with Ravi, right?
Yep.
And
can I just read this last
please,
bit on?
Please.
It's just great. This is just a great paragraph. In the finale, it's revealed that Kelly is married to Ravi. Ryan has a baby named Drake with his ex-girlfriend who walked out on them, leaving Ryan as a single parent. At Dwight and Angela's wedding reception, Ryan induces a mild allergic reaction in his baby so that Ravi has to examine him. Using that as excuse, using that as excuse to get Kelly alone to tell her he wants her back. Kelly and Ryan run off together, abandoning Drake, who's adopted by Nelly.
Yep, that's exactly
Drake,
what happens.
Not named after the hip hop artist. It's actually just a combination of the names Drew and Blake.
Drew and Blake.
That is just a crazy end, but. It felt like those writers being like, let's have fun on the finale and where our characters are getting run off.
It's what is the most sort of truest thing to Ryan and Kelly is the fact that they just like are so impulsive that they just ruin everything that they've built for each other and just leave and run off together. They can't, they'll always be together, right? I think that's sort of the kind of funny, and it's almost sweet in a way where it's like their relationship is so wavy and it goes through all these different weird twists and turns and they're broken up and they're back together and they're mean to each other and they're kind to each other and they take each other back
right
and then it ends with them just kind of running off and it's like you know that they're going to split up
night
exactly but that's kind of the fun of their characters and I think the show does a good job of not making it too heavy when you look at these moments you know and you read out the lines it's like wow these people are really terrible to each other but like the show it happens so often and so continuous in the show and it's always played for laughs that like it feels like lighthearted in a way.
Oh yeah.
Right? It's always a source of comic relief and it's really unexpected, you know?
And like Kelly's sort of like obliviousness to the way that Ryan treats her. I think about that conference room scene where Michael Scott has learned that Donna is cheating on him.
Mm.
He still thinks that she's cheating on him, not on her husband with him. But Kelly has a moment where she like raises her hand, like what is it exactly? They went to P.F. Chang's in another town, and Kelly's like, "That's weird. Why would you go do that?
Why would you go to P.F. Chang's in the Poconos when you can go to the Great Wall here in Scranton?"
Because
when your hot girlfriend says she wants to go to P.F. Chang's, you take her there and you take her to the resort, and we screwed. I don't even know if that's right. That is love when he's
that's
like,
right, yeah.
When your girlfriend says this, we go there, and we screwed.
But yeah, she's like, that kind of sounds like what Ryan did to me when he was cheating on me.
Right. She says, and then Ryan goes off on this long line. Right. And he's like,
does she shower before sex? Does she shower after sex?
She lock her phone when she's around you.
Yeah.
Like all these. And she's like, she does all these things. Right?
Yeah. But I love that moment where they're just kind of like Kelly and Ryan sitting there together being like, oh, well, that's what we used to do. Like,
she's like, Ryan,
so matter of fact,
Ryan used to take me to this diner all the way on the other side of town when Ryan had two girlfriends. And he goes, some diner? It was in a Life magazine spread about Americana. And there's another line where Kelly is like, oh, no, he has hurt me too often and too many times. I don't even know what the context is.
But, yeah.
But it is funny how like they can stay together and be together, even though they've like hurt each other so many times, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's this moment when Ryan makes his grand gesture to Kelly when he's in the break room trying to appeal to everyone in the office. They're like, Ryan says, do you really think this Ravi guy is better? And they're like, yes, we all think he's better.
Nate.
He goes, for Kelly? And Oscar goes, yes, she's found herself this wonderful pediatrician. Like, why do you have to ruin this? And then Nate comes in and he goes, Now, I haven't really met this Ravi guy, but only knowing you a short while, Brian, I would go with Ravi.
And again,
why is Nate there? Why does Nate speak up? Oh, Nate is so great.
Oh, I love Nate. We have to do an episode about Nate.
Knowing you only a short while, Brian.
And again, I don't even know the guy.
Oh my God!
But yeah, it's funny how they're. It's too bad the way they're written out of the show. Kind of allows the show in season 9. Allows the show to kind of focus in on resolving these sort of bigger arcs, which is to say Jim and Pam, Dwight and Angela, Andy and Aaron, mm-hmm. you know, the show kind of zeroes in on these kind of plot lines, right?
Yeah.
Especially these characters like Dwight and Jim and Pam kind of need to get to their resolution, right? And you can write Ryan and Kelly back into the show at the end, having this moment together, right, where they run away. And like, it just kind of plays to their nature of like, they're kind of in the background, but when they pop up, it's always really funny. Or it's really kind of meaningful.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
They're like each other's lowest common denominator. And in fact, they kind of are for a lot of people in The Office. You think about like we've talked about the various kind of romantic webs amongst the main characters and sort of all the overlap. And then you're like, okay, well, actually, Ryan and Kelly have also are like this B-side of like they've dated or made moves on a lot of people within The Office. I mean, Ryan with Kelly, with Aaron, with... Mm-hmm. Oh, I already Pam. Said Karen. Probably. Sure.
I think that's a great point. They're always so... Some of the funny Ryan and Kelly moments are sort of throwaway lines when they're like going... They're arguing with each other and they're bringing up random times, right? And
right.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
And like Ryan is
if
like...
If they were in Family Guy, there'd be a lot of...
Callbacks.
Callbacks of Ryan and Kelly.
Ryan's like, well, next time you don't call me in the middle... Or Kelly says, all right, well, if that's true, then you don't call me in the middle of the night thinking there's a murderer in your house.
Yeah.
And she's like, speaking of calling people in the middle of the night, you call me in the middle of the night. And she goes, I call you in the middle of the night to tell you that I love you.
That's amazing.
Or he's like, I never cheated on you, even though I probably could have. He's like, Karen Filippelli sent me an email asking me out on the date. I didn't because I was committed to our relationship.
Which is so funny because he sent her an email.
That's correct. Her being Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Ryan's such awful. A subtle, like, mm-hmm. by the way, he's lying about this.
Because Ryan makes...
we learn it from Jim.
Remember, Ryan makes a run at Pam when he's in corporate?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He asked her to go to dinner. That's, and then it cuts to Jim, and yeah, Jim is like, I guess he can't get any girl he wants, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to Aaron. He like when Michael, he's inspired by Michael's example of just taking what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to Aaron, and he's like, I find you attractive. I want to sleep with you.
Yeah.
And he goes, and she goes, what about Kelly? And he goes, you read my mind or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Aaron's like, is this a joke? And he goes,
yep.
Yes. And he goes back to the break room and he goes, can't do it, man. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
And Michael, through a mouthful of cake, says, you'll learn, baby. You'll learn. Goes, oh, that's lemon.
Well, I mean...
oh, Phyllis.
Ryan, when they're trying to figure out who's going to go down to Florida,
mm-hmm.
he makes this whole presentation about how they should pick either Ryan or Kelly.
Not both.
Again, not both. Preferably me, but if not me, Kelly Kapoor.
Right. Also, the episode after they break up, let's not forget that Ryan then decides to go to Thailand right after they get back together.
Oh, yeah, he goes to Thailand.
Goes to Thailand. Before yeah. and to break up, but right before breaking up,
oh
convinces Kelly to give him money.
Yeah,
and yeah. they sleep together
yeah,
one more time.
Yeah,
before
we sleep
go.
Together one more time. And if you have any cash, that'd be great.
That's the worst. That's got to be the worst okay. Ryan moment.
She okay. just says okay.
It's got to be the like.
Oh,
he's so awful.
Oh, that's bad. When is that?
That's right.
That's the end of.
That's right. It's before the duel, and then it's after.
Season
right
five.
After they. It's the episode after Daryl and.
Oh,
and
okay.
Kelly break up. It's, yeah, somewhere in five.
I'm really glad that you mentioned the Florida trip because
yeah.
there's this funny moment where Ryan takes another run at Aaron.
Yeah,
because
of course.
Aaron is like
they want to make waffles.
Well, Aaron is like I'm moving down here
under the
right. And Ryan in a talking head says, "Why would Aaron confide in me that she's staying here in Florida if she didn't want me to make some last ditch, nothing to lose, Kelly Kahoo run at her?"
God, dude, that was a moment like.
But then they're under the table, right? Or they're under the thing in the kitchen. And they're like, "I'm gonna make you a waffle," and he's like, and they're hiding or whatever, she's like, "You know what? Maybe you could move down here with me." She's like, "We could get a dog. We could watch R-rated movies." And she's like, "And you know, and maybe in 6 months." And he goes, "Oh, six months." He's like, "All right, I'm in love with Kelly." And then he gets up and leaves.
Kinda like they just sit there because they can't leave because the kitchen staff just came in.
There's also this line, I'm trying to remember it, but he's like, she's like, "Why aren't the lights off?" And he goes, "Oh, they just leave them on. It's cheaper that way." And she goes, "I like how guys just know things." he says something like, "You're smart too. Like, never forget that." And he's like, "No one more." And he's like, "You're much smarter than me." And then he's like, he regrets really the way that he said it. Yeah.
Did that? I remember that moment. I think when they're under the table in Florida, watching that live and having a really, really visceral reaction of just like, no, like Aaron, no, like Ryan, you have to get away from Aaron. Aaron is like this this beautiful woman who's like so innocent. Get away. You are the worst possible thing that could happen to Aaron.
This is what Ryan says. So Aaron says, "I like how guys just know stuff all the time." And Ryan goes, "Girls know a lot of stuff too, okay? And nobody knows more than you, especially me." And then like his face like shuts down.
He's struggling so much. Kelly have any other relationships besides Daryl?
Well,
and Ravi,
one relationship we know of is she went to juvie because she stole her ex-boyfriend's dad's boat.
Mm-hmm. Long before the show started. But yes, I forgot about that.
You know, that was during that investigation that Dwight set out on. It's unearthed that.
And Dwight's like, "Let me tell you a story about an immigrant girl who came to this country and will now be going to jail for a crime she did commit." And Kelly's like, "What are you talking about, Dwight?"
A lot of outtakes
and
from
he
that
goes, scene. And Dwight goes, "I think you know." And she goes, "You always say that and I almost never know."
I'm trying to think of these moments between Kelly and Ryan that like they just seem like right in sync with each other almost. Like, when does Ryan get that hat?
I was just going to talk about this. Ryan gets the fedora. Yeah. It's the episode is in season 6 when Dwight is recording Jim and Jim figures it out and he gives the mallard to Kelly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the audio that Dwight hears is like, "Ryan, you look so cool in your fedora." And he goes, she's like, "Do you think I should get a fedora?" And he goes, "I'd rather not say." And then somebody comes over and they're like, "Oh, Ryan, where'd you get that cool hat?" I'm Kevin in this version,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he goes, "I'd rather not say." And then Dwight comes over, right? And she's like,
Jose.
Ryan comes over, or Dwight comes over, and he goes, "Where did you get that?" And she goes, "Oh, Professor Damon D. Duck. Jim gave him to me."
She named it
Professor Damon D. Duck. And then
he offers her money for it.
And he goes,
$10.
I'll give you $10 for it. And Ryan goes, $20. He's leaning one foot with his fedora. $20. And
it's like, okay.
And he's like, "All right," and he gives him $10. And then Ryan takes the money and he puts it in his pocket. She goes, "Ryan, you're so cool." And he goes, "That reminds me, you owe me $3 for gas."
another moment. Oh, between those three people, Dwight learns about the Print in All Colors initiative at Sabre and realizes that he wants to be a puppet master and get Kelly to join because he thinks she can be easily manipulated. As he walks up on them, Ryan's like, "What are you guys doing?" They're like, "Oh, we're just like catfishing this girl I met who was mean to me at the mall." Tried to convince her to like get an eating disorder or something. Trying to convince her to become bulimic or something.
And
like
Ryan
that.
Is like, "Tell her she's the fattest girl in your homeroom." And Kelly's like, "Ooh, that's good." And
that's the nice one. Yeah.
But then, like Ryan's whole advice is like, "You think you'd be asking me that if I were white?"
Yeah.
Right. That's his whole. And then Dwight's like, "This Kelly is out of my control." And he's like, "If you told me today, I thought I'd be creating a animal that's capable of taking that'd be out of or oh my gosh, if you told me this morning I'd be creating a life that would somehow be threatening me, I thought you'd be thinking about the bull Mose and I are trying to reanimate."
Well, that kind of gives us, I think it brings us to an interesting question, which is like, are they?
Did Mose and Dwight ever reanimate,
did they
that
reanimate
bull?
The bull and where
Frank
is that footage?
Yeah.
No, like, are they horrible for each other? Or are they perfect for each other? Like, do they deserve each other? Ryan,
they deserve
Kelly?
Each other, definitely.
You think so? I feel like Ryan's way worse than Kelly.
Yeah.
I don't think Kelly deserves
Ryan. Doesn't. Well, yeah. Ryan knows. Ryan does things like on purpose.
Yeah, Ryan's that's what I mean. Cruel. But like, I mean, and you don't really hold Kelly responsible because she seems oblivious.
Right.
To
sure.
But
she's obnoxious.
But she also
knowingly
lies about being pregnant. Mm-hmm. Having been raped.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, but you know, she can be pretty conniving on her own.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I think Ryan is worse, but she chooses Ryan. She has the opportunity to choose, you know. And I think the fact that she chooses Ryan over, you know, she's sitting with Ravi at the wedding and she's like, I'm really glad I didn't wear my Jimmy Choo's today. She's like, they would have gotten ruined in this mud. She's like, I just saved you $600, mister. And Robbie's like, oh, thank you, honey. Like,
yeah.
He's so accepting of her, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. Like, if she's willing to run away with Ryan, then yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you, Ryan sucks. Like, just
Ryan,
in general.
Ryan is the worst.
But they choose each other to some extent. Mm-hmm. Or at least Kelly chooses Ryan.
Do you like their characters on the show?
Ryan and Kelly?
Yeah. I do.
Yes. I think they are so funny. I think that, I mean, my dad thinks Kelly's like one of the funniest people on the show.
Yeah, I agree. Kelly's great. I just, like, Ryan
yes,
rarely
Charles,
makes
you wanted
me.
Laugh.
Ryan rarely makes me laugh. Like, he's just not that, which isn't maybe his, that's not necessarily his, he's not a laugh, he's like a smirk.
America's like, one big mall. Yeah. That's a line from Ryan that always makes me laugh. It's so random. He's like,
what's the other one?
I hate when people say things are like crack when they've obviously never done crack. All right, Ryan, like, what should I call it? You know, something from your world. It's like scrapbooking. She goes, all right, yes, I'm a middle class fraud. Right.
what's
Soho's
the one where,
mostly lost, but
that's
okay.
That's what I was going to say. Pam's describing her dream house. Soho's mostly lost, but okay.
There's that other one where Ryan is like really upset over Smokey Robinson dying.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, oh, the smoke man, I can't believe it. Trails of my tears, like, changed the generation. Yeah. Right? And then Jim was like, I second that emotion. Yeah. He's like, you think that's an appropriate response, Jim? And then it's like,
tears of a clown. Right. Don't call me a clown, Pam.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, someone who loves Smokey Robinson so much would have to go see him. Right?
Yeah, like, for like $300.
Man, it's not what the smoke man would have wanted. Right? Later, he becomes kind of this millennial caricature.
Yeah.
Big time.
Colorful.
Right.
Outfits.
Woof.com.
Hoodie. Well, let's talk about Woof.com because Woof.com
is
Kelly's
idea.
Is Kelly's idea because she wishes she was a little dog going woof, 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 woof.
Yeah.
Trying to get a hold of Ryan.
She was a little dog.
And then he's just like, shh.
Kelly's
She's
like,
I don't think it's right.
Kelly's like, I always have to be speaking my mind. I write, I talk, I text, I tweet, I woof, and then it cuts to Ryan and he's like, woof is your all-in-one solution for social media communication. He's like, but why would I show you when I can woof you, right? And he does it, and then Ryan gets a call and it's Aaron. She's like, Ryan, you have a call, you have a woof on line one.
Woof.
And then springs back up in the cold open during the
woof.com in the closet.
Yeah. She's like, Ryan.
Then eventually sells it to?
Washington University in St. Louis.
Very good.
Or Washington University Public Health Fund.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well?
Did we touch on everything we wanted to say about these two?
I've got a random thing that I wrote down.
Okay.
Apropos of nothing, but it's Ryan goes, yeah, babies are cute. You know what's not cute? The fact that Kelly forgets to take her birth control pills on purpose.
Oh, my God. Never come. When does that happen? When does he say that?
I don't know. I found it looking up Ryan and Kelly.
Oh
moments.
My gosh. I wonder if that might be a deleted scene. I don't remember that.
Is that
joke.
A web series? That's. Oh, man. You know, when Steve Carell is
in the
you
convict.
Make the office these days.
It's in the convict.
Okay. Ryan might be why.
That's amazing.
Ryan is such an alt-right dude.
Oh, this isn't. It looks like it is within a deleted scene.
Oh, okay. I like that, though.
I feel like I kind of sucked the air out of this episode with that quote.
I love it. I mean,
that's Ryan.
It goes
right
to
there.
Show you, too, that she can, you know, like, that she's trying to trick him into stuff, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's a bit of a, it's a dysfunctional relationship all the way around.
The worst thing that Ryan does is when he convinces D'Angelo that he is her boss.
That is, yes.
Because Kelly...
Berating her.
You seem a bit erratic.
So it starts out, Kelly does a meet cute with D'Angelo. Where she like turns and like drops her books and like is wearing the fake glasses.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I didn't see you there. Right. And then it cuts to her in a talking head going, and that is how you meet cute. Right.
Yeah.
And then later, Ryan is like trying to, he's like, Kelly, just pretend, you know, because like, so that I can have a job here. Right. And then when like D'Angelo comes by, Ryan is like, Kelly, we needed those reports yesterday. And she's like, all right, Mr. Howard or whatever. And then later, Kelly's like, no, D'Angelo, you need to know the truth. Ryan hasn't had a real job here in years. He's not my boss. And he goes, He's like, I don't know what to believe. And he's like, you've been here for a while. He's like, you seem kind of hysterical to me. That's terrible.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of says, okay, wrap that. Like, Ryan's just like, you wrap that up. I'm going to go home. Like,
you know, why don't we call, this is a Charles Minor thing. Yes, Charles, you wanted me.
Yeah.
Why don't we call you Kapoor and you Hannon? He's like, oh, if we're going by middle names, I'll go by Aaron. It's very pretty. So, well, my name is Roger Naganda, and I hate it.
I thought Roger Naganda was a girl's name.
It was a boy's name.
Ah, messed it up.
Yeah, I wonder if they're beefed like, I feel like Ryan and Kelly are the, I don't, like the nega Jim and Pam.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they're like, we need some characters in this office who are the kind of the same, like the
this
younger
is the darkest
people.
Timeline.
Yeah, it's like the younger people, but we need like, not all young people are great. Let's remind the audience that, like, also there's a lot of bad stuff.
As Angela says, Charles is a sophisticated man. He doesn't need to go dumpster diving for companionship. Yeah, I
know. And Kelly makes a run at Charles and Danny Cordray.
Oh, yeah. That's when Michael introduces, she's like, this is our new traveling salesman, Danny Cordray. Fuck. She goes, fuck me.
No.
He is not some piece of meat here for you to oogle at. Because besides, doesn't he remind you of someone here? And Kevin goes, he's like a better looking version of Andy. And Andy's like, thanks, Kevin. And Michael's like, no, doesn't he remind you like a younger version of me? And Oscar goes, it can be hard to estimate ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, shall we?
Ryan and Kelly.
From Ryan to Kelly, the American Idol movie.
America's Sweethearts.
You guys remember that from Justin to Kelly?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Justin Guarini, he's the Diet Dr. Pepper guy now. Kelly Clarkson is a singer. And
I know what you're talking about.
This was Dr. Pepper guy.
It came out.
I know.
From Justin to Kelly, American Idol. Justin Guarini, Diet Dr. Pepper, Kelly Clarkson. Since you've been gone. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Of all the pop culture
hills. I'm telling you.
Of all the pop culture hills for Edwin to die
from
on.
Ryan to from Ryan to Kelly. I saw that in the rental store, and I was like, it's going to be a no for me, dog. Randy Jackson. Let's move on.
All right, conference room, 5 minutes.
All right, you know what? That's it. Conference room, 5 minutes.
All right, Edwin, you said you had something to tell us.
I did.
What do you got?
Thank you all for joining me today at this mandatory conference room meeting.
Let's talk about From Justin to Kelly.
Yeah. We will now be airing live audio recording. Okay, so this past weekend, I traveled to sunny Los Angeles, California. Actually, it was pretty cloudy, but to visit some friends. I was down there for a work meeting on Friday, stayed through the weekend, met up with our dear friends. Shout outs to our friends, Pat, Emily, and Spencer, right? And on Saturday, we drove around and saw some sights. And the first thing we went to was the City Hall from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, hey, shit.
That building with the face that you see.
Yeah.
Where is that? It's Pasadena City Hall.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so we drove out there. I took some pictures there.
That is a well-used establishing shot.
Yeah. There were some people doing construction there. And when we walked up to take pictures, it looked like we were approaching them for something.
Oh, dear.
But I took some pictures pointing up at it. It was great. It was very fulfilling. Some other people came and did the same thing. So it happens all the time.
I'm sure.
And then later, we drove to Burbank, California, where there is the building that is like the office like the show.
Oh, yeah,
the front of Dunder Mifflin Scranton.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Oh shit!
Damn.
Yeah.
What did it look like?
It's
was
it's,
it the same? Was it just like there it is?
It look, it's there. There it is. Exactly. Yeah. It's just like it's. It's exactly what you'd think it would look like from the outside, with a really tall hedge, and the gate has like a blackout sort of tarp there. So clearly, like people have been coming up to like try to do
take
that
pictures.
Kind of,
is it a functioning office?
It's a soundstage. It's connected to a soundstage in California, and like there's like a driveway, like one building over, with like a big sign that says like "No public access." You know?
Wow.
Yeah. So we
that's
I took,
so wild because they didn't even film in there.
Yeah,
right?
I think, don't they film there like the first season or something like
they
that?
They did the first season
and then they, like,
as
built,
an office building.
Right, and then they built out a set that's very similar.
Or maybe they filmed at, well, gosh, because they'll, you know, they'll have an interior somewhere
shots.
And an exterior somewhere.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have to be the same building.
You know what's crazy, though, is you remember in Money, when, in the Money, in season four, when Michael decides to make a break for it and to go ride the rails, he like leaves the office building
and
runs across the street and he just happens to go to like a railroad track.
Right. Is there? There's no railroad.
There's a railroad track right by that building.
Is it the same one? Did you
yes,
recognize
it?
Yes,
it is absolutely. Because the camera follows him running out of the door across
the
street
and
towards the rail yard to ride the rails. And like when you're there, you look across the street and you can see where the like the railroad is.
That's so funny. I wonder if someone was like, when are we going to use this railroad right over here? When's Michael Scott going to try and ride the rails?
Yeah. Did the railroad ever interrupt their shots? Must have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sound on that railroad. Jesus.
As Jan says, so where's this train going? And Michael says, I think the engineer left.
Did you get the feeling standing there? Did you feel what did you feel? Were you was it like a letdown?
Did you just park on the street and walk down?
Did you park
right out front?
Yeah, you just park out front. It was spectacularly average.
Yeah,
like it's just a building.
Where is it? Burbank.
It's
so
Burbank.
it's like Van Nuys. It's in the valley.
Yeah,
yeah. Ugh.
Hey, but there's beauty in ordinary things.
That's right. I wish you knew where you were in the good old days when you were in them. But
that's where the Scranton Strangler drove
it
by.
Did
you scoop some gravel up?
And I was, now, kids, you can sell this and buy yourself a spaceship. but basically, it was average in like the most perfect sort of way.
Yeah.
Like in that, it's just a building out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
The American workplace. It's supposed to be slice of life.
Yeah.
Very normal.
Was it quiet on the street? Or
yeah,
it...
we went on a Saturday afternoon, so there was nobody there. And the end of the street is like a cul-de-sac.
Cool.
So, yeah, and it's on
a good spot.
It's on Sataquoy Street, which, if you remember, Charles Miner, the company that he comes from, is Sataquoy Steel.
Oh,
no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Dude, that's cool, man.
Dude, that's so cool.
Well done. Congratulations.
I want to go.
My heart is very full at this moment. The words of Michael Scott.
Trivia?
Yeah,
let's
trivia.
Let's do some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Trivia this week. It's going to be short and sweet here, but we are doing it on season 7, episode 7.
Okay.
This is where I need to guess the episode.
Yeah.
Yes. Season 7, episode 7, viewing party.
No.
Christening.
Yes.
All right.
Oh.
Always impressive.
Pretty
on this
good.
Yes.
Dang. Cold open?
Nailed it.
This is like from time to time as I'm watching The Office, I'll just jot down trivia questions whenever we need one last minute, which was this episode.
That's good.
My man.
Something I'm going to start asking with these episode trivias. What's the cold open to this episode?
Oh, man. Are they're in the office?
Yes.
I'll
give you a big hint.
Sure.
It is a conference room cold open.
Oh, it's Dwight with Knights of the Night.
No. Great guess, though. Great guess. Dwight is involved.
I don't know.
I don't feel like they're talking about the christening.
It is the hygiene day presentation. Oh. So it is because they're still talking
about it. Cam is doing the vampire cough.
Right.
Oh.
The vampire cough.
The more we expose ourselves to germs.
Everyone sneezes in Dwight's face.
Yeah.
Bowl
yeah,
of
yeah.
dirt. Yeah. What impression does Michael do when trying to sit next to Jim and Pam?
Oh. I know it.
The Godfather.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Scooch down before I shoot you in the head. Michael, this is really important. I need you to say that you know you're not the Godfather.
Yes.
No, Michael, I'm sorry. I need you to say it.
I'm not the Godfather.
I'm not the Godfather. Like, you can see the realization in his face, like, as he says it. Yeah.
Brilliant, Steve Croft. Brilliant. Who are Cece's godparents? Not Michael Scott.
Our friends.
They're friends.
It's like,
who they, like, just met.
Ken and Kathy or Terry or something?
We don't know the wife's name.
Okay.
But it's Seth and his wife.
Oh, Seth and his wife.
And how did Pam meet them?
They met them at...
Mommy and Me.
That's correct.
Dang it.
They did meet
up. I was going to say Le Mans.
Ah.
Ah.
What's your daughter's name again? Pee-Pee?
Yes.
Where is the youth group going in Mexico specifically?
Oh.
This is deep.
Wait. Fuck. I hate the way that girl says it.
At the end, we'll all be... At the end, we'll all be Kimishtanos.
Kimish, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Kimishto.
Kimishto.
Kimishto. In...
We'll practically be Kimishtanos.
In Cabo Corrientes, Mexico. Is the province, the area?
Okay.
Do you smell like a weird warm cheese? That's what Andy says.
All right, finish this quote from Mima. Fine, I'll guess I'll look after blank and your baby.
Somebody's
purse.
Angela's
yeah.
purse or something.
No, it's somebody from her family.
Yeah.
Your mom's purse?
Suzanne. Suzanne's purse and your baby.
And if it's a boy, Silvio.
Again, Mima.
Sucks. What deal does Dwight offer the church congregation on Saber products?
Oh, it's like 10% off if you mention this service or something like that.
Close. This is a hard one. No, it's a 4% discount on all Dunder Mifflin Saber products if you buy a printer at full price. It is the worst deal.
And then he runs out to Michael and he's like, Michael, I need you to authorize a temporary discount on printer prices. And he goes, no. And he goes, ugh.
He runs back. And what do they listen to at the end of this episode?
Prairie Home Companion.
Yes. Well, what does Aaron think it is?
Lake Wobegon.
She calls it Lake Wobblegon.
Yep.
And then they're like, well, they all got into Meredith's van. Now they're going to see a movie. And Michael's like, oh, we're missing that.
That's great.
Doesn't they say something like, so glad to be back in a country that
has movies.
That has movies.
Yeah.
And then they haven't even left the country.
And Toby, like, he's like, me and the big guy have had some troubles, you know? Yeah. And then he's outside the church. Why you gotta be so mean to me?
I can't wait to do a Toby episode someday.
Oh, we're gonna do it.
Someday. Alrighty, we'll that's it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Check us out on social media. You know we're on Facebook. And
you know that
we're on Twitter. Obviously. At Michael Scott Pod. And you know that we're on Instagram at Michael Scott Podcast Company. You can log in there. Write us a comment. Write us a message. Call us on the phone. Our number is 503-694-9314. And if you leave us a message, a question, a comment, we play them on the show sometimes. You've heard it before. We just might play yours. So check it out. Try it out. Give us a call. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week.
That reminds me, you owe me $3 for gas.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.